That was Zingarella by David and the High Spirit from their Golden Anniversary of Israel CD. This is Jewish Community Radio, the weekly Friday half-hour excursion into public affairs for the Jewish community and for everybody else for that matter. My name is Fred, your host, and today, this week, we have in studio Kenny Sachs. Ken is from New Jersey originally, and he moved to Israel a number of years ago and joined the army. And well, he was attacked. Got injured pretty badly in a terrorist attack. And we're going to hear about his story. Welcome, Ken.
How you doing?
Great. Welcome to Jewish Community Radio. Oops. Oh, I'm sorry. I had this microphone on. I'm sorry. Welcome, Ken.
How you doing?
Good. Welcome to Cleveland. So you're here for how long right now?
I just got into Cleveland about an hour ago, and I'm going to be here till Tuesday afternoon.
Great, and you're making a trip around the country, touring different cities, and what brings you? You live in Israel right now, right?
That is correct.
Where in Israel do you live?
I live in Jerusalem for the last 9 years.
That's 9 years, and you're from New Jersey originally.
I'm originally from Bayonne, New Jersey.
So tell me, how did you go from, I don't know, how did you end up making Aliyah, moving to Israel? Tell us your story.
Well, I grew up in New Jersey, and when I was 12 years old, I followed my older brother to a meeting of an organization called Beitar, and from there I got involved in the organization myself, and I stuck around there from the age of 12 to 20, learning about Zionism and Israel and all kinds of things related to that. And at the age of 20, a month after I turned 20, I packed my bags and I moved.
So that's an interesting story. So you moved to Israel, and what did you do next? What did you do when you got there?
When I first went there, I went to something that's called Old Pond, which is the study of the Hebrew language for 6 months, and got a part-time job after that, waiting until I got drafted into the army.
So you expected to go into the army?
By Israeli law, everyone has to go into. Everyone has to be drafted unless they choose not to.
So you chose to go. You knew you were going to go. That was part of your plan was to serve in the army.
It was something I knew I had to do, and it was something I actually wanted to do regardless.
Okay, and so you trained. So how long were you there before you actually went into the army?
I was actually in Israel about a year and a half. About a year and 8 months before I got drafted.
So you had an apartment, you had a whole life set up. Were you working then, or?
I had a part-time job. I was working about 30 hours a week. Nothing too serious, just something to pass the time and help, and something that was half in English, half in Hebrew, so I can improve my motor skills and also be able to pay the bills.
So when you were in Israel, you're getting ready, you know you got to go to the army, and okay, you get drafted, you got your notice, you showed up, and what happened there? You spent a few months in basic training?
I spent 4 months in basic training. After that, I spent another 2 months in advanced training, specializing in what my unit does. I was in a reconnaissance unit, and so we spent an extra 2 months specializing in that type of training. And then from there, we started going from posts, to different posts.
Now, your main story begins when you're on a base one day and something unexpected happened. What was happening that day that led up to this incident?
Well, it's not that simple because I finished my service, first of all. This happened during my reserve duty. So I did my Army service. I finished my Army service. I got back into everyday civilian life. Working, you know, going out with people and friends, and I was playing on a semi-professional basketball team. I was going out and living everyday life until I got 2 months beforehand a letter in the mail saying that my unit's being called up from May 25th to June 25th, 2003. And at that point, May 25th, packed my bags, went to join my unit. We had 3 days of training. From those 3 days of training, I got sent home for a leave of absence. When I went back, I was supposed to close 20 straight days, and other people were supposed to go on their leave of absence. And at that point, I went back on June 5th, and on June 8th, my base was attacked by three terrorists.
So what happened that day?
The initial facts are not completely clear. At the time of the incident, it was assumed the three terrorists had used the fog and were able to get through the security. But now with all the information we've known in the last few years, it's believed that they actually dug a tunnel inside and underneath the outpost. And they were dressed in the IDF uniforms. And from that point, they took their AK-47s and attacked the base.
So this was definitely a premeditated plan. They actually planned this for a while, if they tunneled in.
It was definitely premeditated, and it was even the three organizations that took responsibility for it even admitted to that afterwards.
Okay, and what happened? You were injured. What else? Was anybody killed? Anybody else injured?
Unfortunately, four friends of mine did not make it. Three of them had no chance at all, and they were shot in the chest immediately. And the fourth person wound up taking one bullet to his neck in a shot that was a million to one, and he bled to death. And that the four of them died very quickly at the very beginning of the attack. After that point, myself and three other people were injured. The other three were injured lightly, as I was injured moderately.
And what were your injuries?
I took three bullets to my right leg, one in my tibia, one that went in my calf muscle and out my calf muscle, and the third one, which did all the damage, went into my right knee on the interior part, destroying my MCL, knocking my ACL out of place, putting three craters in my femur, fracturing my femur into three, destroying 80% of my cartilage, and breaking my fibia and my tibia.
Ouch.
It's not fun.
No, does that sound fun at all? But you've made a you've done a pretty good recovery so far. You are walking. You're up and about.
It's been a long 3.5 years, and luckily I've had some very good doctors work with me. I've had some excellent physical therapists work with me over the years, and unfortunately I'm not done. I have at least one more surgery coming up this winter, and then I'm going to be in therapy to at least the beginning of 2008.
Wow. And so right now you're a sergeant in the Israeli Army.
Correct.
Are you still considered active on their list? Why are you doing recovery?
Because I got injured during duty, I am technically listed as, I'm blanking on the word in English, as a leave of absence.
Leave of absence, okay.
Because of the way things took place, until I'm complete, the Army can't release me or put me back into duty until they know the full extent of my recovery. And because I'm still dealing with my recovery, they haven't listed me as one or the other.
So at least the Army is taking care of you.
The Army takes care of almost all my needs.
That's great to hear. And so you're here. What brings you to the United States specifically, if you live in Israel and you're here right now?
My parents still live here, so every year and a half, I try to come back and see them. They don't make it out to me as often as I'd like, and obviously I don't make it out here to visit them as much as they'd like, so I try to come here at least once a year. And besides that, I come to speak to different groups and different organizations around America to make them understand about what's really going on in Israel.
Okay, well, before we get to what's really going on in Israel and more, let's take a little music break here, and we'll come back with more with Kenny. And let's hear a little bit here from Yitzchak Perlman, actually, live from the Fiddler's House, a special CD which came out with various klezmer groups. And this is one of my favorites with Andy Statman, who's a musician of stature on his own. And this is Andy's Ride. That was Andy's Ride. Yitzchak Perlman, live from the Fiddler's House. And we're back here with Ken Sachs and a certain other guest here who's been quiet the whole time. Why don't you introduce yourself?
I am Alan Attar from New Jersey also.
And you're traveling with Ken.
Yeah, that's correct. We're best friends.
Yeah, meanwhile we had a phone call from another best friend, the person you're staying with, your host here during the break, who's friend Jeremy, who's kind enough to host him. But before we get back to the interview here, let's do some of the news here from the community. This is Erev Shabbat, Parshat Noach. Candlelighting is no later than 6:11 p.m. This week, daylight savings time ends at, what time is it? Oh, well, whatever, 2 a.m. We got to move your clocks change your clocks, fall back. So we have called Mazel Tovs. We have the Freund wedding coming up. Mazel Tov there for the Freund family. And to the big news actually happened last night. Rabbi and Mrs. Avram Cohn and Rabbi and Mrs. Ellie Newman announced the engagement of Naftali Cohn to Esti Newman, a Cleveland engagement. There's going to be a memorial service to honor Rabbi Pickholtz on November 5th at 7 p.m. at Green Road Synagogue. Rabbi Berger and Rabbi Granstein will be speaking. Big concert coming up in the community, Uncle Moishe and the Mitzvah Men. That's Sunday, October 29th, and it's to benefit the Friendship Circle. For more information on that, call 381-1770. Election day is Tuesday. Don't forget to vote. And we have the Downtown Mincha starting up again, starting Monday at 12:40 p.m. at Office of Ehrenreich & Associates. We have Mincha at the Heights also, another one. If you want more information, that email me over at fred@jewishcommunityradio.org. And we're going to – Fuchs was Rocky School has some fundraisers coming up. We wish them luck. And next week, we have a big guest. Mark Klempner is going to be here. He's the author of a new book called The Heart Has Reasons, Holocaust Rescuers and Their Stories of Courage. After that, we have another guest, world-famous Chazan Dudu Fischer is going to be live on the phone in 2 weeks from today. We look forward to that. So, Ken, getting back to your story. So right now you're recovering and you got another surgery coming up here and you're touring the country, I guess, right now, visiting friends and relatives, and you're also speaking.
That's correct.
So where are you speaking here in Cleveland?
Tomorrow after services at I'm going to be speaking at a luncheon at B'nai Ashura.
Yeshurun.
Ashurun. Okay. And on Sunday morning and Monday night, I'm going to be speaking at my friend's Jeremy's class at Emmanuel. And on Tuesday, I'm heading back to New Jersey.
So you're speaking a few places, so where else have you been visiting on this trip?
So far, I've been to Connecticut, New York, New Jersey. Are the three places I've spoke at so far. And on the rest of my trip, I'm going to be speaking in Pennsylvania, once again, New Jersey, New York. Here and Michigan.
So when you speak, what's your story? What do you tell people?
I go into exact details of everything that happened that morning, detail by detail of every last thing that I recalled that I saw with my own eyes, so people can understand, try to relate to what it's like to be there through my eyes, B, to realize, you know, exactly how things happened, how the breakdown comes through, how we try to go about the situation the right way, and most importantly, make people understand about what it's like to, be someone who's been injured and how it changes and affects your life, and that when you pick up a newspaper one morning and see that, God forbid, there was a terrorist attack, that you don't just look at it and say, there were X amount of people killed and I feel sorry for them, that also that the X amount of people that were injured, how it affects their families, them. And some people never get over it. I have friends who were in bus bombings and have not been able to get onto a bus in 5 years. And when you take that out of public transportation and you can't drive, that's a huge impact out of your life. And it's something that I'm very guilty of this as well, because before my injury, it's something I didn't think about as either. It's something that you just bypass because it doesn't occur to immediately into your mindset.
And how did your parents find out about this?
Well, I got injured in Israel at about 5:20 in the morning. I was brought to the hospital in Ashkelon in around 6:30. I called my brother on the 6:45. Him, my sister-in-law, and my ex-girlfriend showed up to the hospital while I was in surgery. When I got out of surgery, my brother came and see me. Up until this point, he was...
So your brother was in Israel also?
Yes, my brother also lives in Israel.
Is he also in the army at the time, or is he a student?
He's, My brother was a regular civilian with an everyday job, doing reserve duty once a year.
Okay, and so get back to you. How did your parents find out?
So my brother was waiting for me to get out of surgery before he called my parents, because he wanted them to know exactly what my story was before he called them, instead of having some kind of details to give them. In the meantime, my sister-in-law had already booked my parents' tickets on the next flight to Israel. At about 1 p.m. My time in Israel, 6 a.m. in America, my brother called my parents, woke them up on a Sunday morning, and my mother answered the phone. My father answered shortly after, and my mother's reaction was obviously not a great one. She just wanted to pretend that it was a bad dream and pull the covers over her head and go back to sleep.
Now, did any dignitaries in Israel visit you? Because obviously this is not your average situation.
I actually was visited by the head of the army at the time and the head of the Ministry of Defense, and the head of the Ministry of Education.
Okay, and so what is your message to people? I mean, what do you want people to know as far as what they see, what happens, these situations, or hopefully won't see in these situations? I hope we'll never see this kind of situation again.
Obviously, I don't want anyone to have to go through what I've gone through, because it's not been a very easy 3.5 years. When you go from working a physical job and being an athlete to not being able to run or jump or jog for 3.5 years, it's a complete change in your life. It impacts everything that you've known to do. I want people to understand that how one morning of something that never should have happened, that my entire life is different. And, I went to Israel to defend Israel. I understood that I was taking certain risks by doing so. And I have no one else, I made that decision. On the same token, just because I made that decision does not mean it's something I wanted to happen. It's something that should not have happened. It's something that people should be able to see the difference between what can happen and what should happen instead of what is happening.
So with even what also happened to you and your injury, your story, do you still recommend people to go to Israel?
Even with everything that's happened to me, I wouldn't change anything.
You're going back also. You're going back to live in Israel.
Yes. November 13th, I fly home. And up until my next vacation here, I don't plan on going anywhere.
And you encourage others to move to Israel as well?
I wouldn't say I don't encourage people, because that's something that they have to make, and I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but it's the perfect place for me to live, and it's perfect, and I'm very happy there. I have no complaints there. I have the best of friends there. The friends I've made there, I can't explain how much they've done for me in the last 3.5 years. And I think everyone should come and try it out. Come to see if it fits what they're looking for in life.
Or at least just to visit?
To visit, I recommend everyone to do, because there are certain things that happen in Israel that doesn't happen anywhere else in the world. It's a different mindset, personality. The way Israelis go about their everyday life, it can't be explained in words. It's something that has to be seen.
All right, Ken, I want to thank you for joining us today here at Jewish Community Radio. This is, once again, of course, our weekly public service program here, or a public service program here at John Carroll University. And we definitely want to thank you for joining us and coming in studio and telling us your story.
Thanks for having me.
And, of course, we want to thank Al for joining us as well.
Al's
been sitting kind of quiet, really quiet here the whole time, even though his microphone has been on. But we want to thank you for joining us. And
this is really Kenny's story, so...
The intriguing part about him is the fact that he's been my best friend since basically the day I was born, and my injury actually happened on his birthday. So we were impacted in many ways on that day.
So it's a day that neither of you are going to forget. Well, I thank you very much once again, and we appreciate your joining us. And we hope you join us next week again here on Jewish Community Radio from 12:30 to 1. And we hope you also tune into our Sunday show from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. featuring Svi Turner, and I usually join in. And we'll go from there. Next week, of course, we're going to have on Mark Klempner, and after that, the Grey Chazen Dudu Fischu. Fisher, excuse me. And we're going to end here with a little bit something from German Goldenstein, great Moldavian klezmerist, and this is his Russian melody.